I want you to stay with me today for the entire Manifest program, because I believe that this is a very interesting, intriguing, and important Manifest telecast to share with you. I'm going to be sharing with you my two visions of the rapture. When I say visions, there is a difference between a vision and a dream. And I think if you've ever had a vision, you can tell the distinction between a vision and a dream. Now, if you're a person that's never had a vision, the difference between a vision and a dream is when you have a dream, you're in the dream, you see color, you see people, you see land or whatever may be in the dream. When you're in a vision, it's much more three-dimensional. It's much more full of color. All of your five senses are active. You can actually smell, hear, taste, touch, as though it was really taking place, that you were at a time that it was really happening. And so there is a difference between a vision and a dream. And I would actually classify these two more on the vision level because of my five senses that were involved than I would just a dream. I used to talk about two dreams of the rapture, but the more I thought about it, it was more, there was more clarity and more color and more of the five senses involved. So we're going to be sharing with you later about that. Up front, let me just talk to you about dreaming or visions, but specifically dreaming, because there were so many people that are having dreams today. You know, the Bible tells us that in the last days that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Old men would dream dreams and young men would see visions. And so visions and dreams are going to accompany the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the final awakening and revival that God is going to send to the earth to bring in the harvest of souls that need to come into the kingdom of God prior to the return of the Messiah. In a dream, I'm going to give you 4 points about a dream that is spiritual, because my wife dreams, but honestly, she wakes up and says, "Perry, I can't remember anything I've dreamed." Now, if she dreams and remembers it in detail, many times it has a spiritual meaning or some type of a meaning linked with it. I dream all night long. In fact, sometimes I wish I could just get to the point where I didn't dream at all. I think I would sleep a lot better, because I've had dreams that wake me up, and the moment I'm awake, it's very difficult for me to go back to sleep. But there's 4 things in a dream that is a spiritual dream or a dream from the Lord, and I want to give these to you. First of all, a spiritual dream, while you may not remember all of the details, it will remain with you. And I keep a pen and a notepad, or sometimes a piece of paper, beside my bed, because I have learned that if I hear something in the night, I've heard songs and I thought, wow, when I wake up, get up in the morning, I'm going to write it down. And I couldn't remember a thing about the song. And it was a great song I'd never heard. If you don't write down your vision, you may end up like King Nebuchadnezzar when he had the dream of that metallic image. And he told Daniel, he said, "I can't remember what I dreamed. Can you tell me?" And he had to go and interpret the dream, or the dream, I should say, of the time that the tree was cut down and Nebuchadnezzar would have a nervous breakdown. There were several dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had that needed to be interpreted. So it will stay with you. The second thing is it will usually have symbolism from the Bible. So in other words, when you see sheep, lamb, goat, wheat, tare, whatever the case may be, and it's symbols that are found in Scripture, and those symbols are interpreted in the Scripture, many times a spiritual dream will have biblical symbolism linked with it. The third thing is that a spiritual dream will require an interpretation. In other words, if you're a spiritually minded person who knows the Bible, many times you can interpret that dream instantly by saying, okay, that represents this and that represents this, so this means that this is about to happen. Now, in the majority of spiritual dreams, or visions for that matter, they are either warnings or they are indicators and signs to you of what is going to happen in the very near future. Looking back on all of my dreams that had symbolism in them, most of my dreams that had symbolism in them ended up becoming a warning of something that was going to happen to me personally, or something that was going to happen in the ministry or connected with the ministry. So those are 4 points that I want to make about a dream. The same can be applied to a vision. If you have a vision, a vision will stay with you. Many times it has symbolism. It does need to be interpreted. As you can read in the Scripture, these visions of the men of God throughout the Bible had the need of interpretation to interpret it to the people. And also many visions will be warning dreams or dreams about the future. Now, when we talk about the return of the Lord, I will use a term that some people don't like, but I'm going to use it anyway because we use terms all the time like Trinity, millennial reign, second coming. None of those terms are found in the Bible, but we know what they mean. And rapture, although the actual English word is not used in the Bible, it means to catch up, to gather together, to catch away, and that's what those words are used in Scripture. When I talk about the rapture of the church that's going to happen in the future, many people have all sorts of ideas and opinions about the rapture. And I'm going to give you one. See, a lot of people say, well, the prophecy preachers believe in the rapture because they believe it's an escape teaching. It's about escape, escaping the tribulation. No, the rapture is about, listen to me very carefully, resurrecting the dead in Christ to present them at judgment, to reward them prior to Christ reigning on the earth, to give them their rewards or their positions in the millennial kingdom. The rapture of the living. Now, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll call it the rapture, the gathering together, the catching away, whatever term you want to use. The living are changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, and God does the same with them. Those who are dead are judged. Those who are alive and judged are judged. That meet the Lord in the air, they're judged in heaven at the beam of the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, the Bible tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds we did in our body, whether good or bad. So in other words, this Jesus catches away the living in order that they will stand at the judgment to be judged and either rewarded or not rewarded and given positions or not given positions for what is coming very soon after that judgment, which is the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the rapture is more than just escapism from tribulation. All the anti-rapture fighters, that's their big argument. No, no, no. It's the resurrection of the dead in Christ and the living to take them to the judgment, to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to prepare them for their rule and reign with Christ on earth for 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20. So having said that, let me get right into these visions because I know that you're interested in these. Right after Pam and I were married, I went to Gastonia, North Carolina for a revival at the Linwood Church of God, and that's where I met my dear friend Jensen Franklin, who was not married at the time but was just starting to evangelize. In the middle of the night, I had a very vivid, very real dream, and I'm so glad they put this lightning behind me because that's what it was like. I was standing at a distance. Of course, I could add this, and I won't go into detail with this part, but before this dream occurred, I had a dream of standing in a square room with four doors, and I had the choice, and this is right after Pam and I were married. We're talking about over 40 years ago. I had a choice of going in one of those four doors. One was just young people at a university, and I knew if I chose that door, it would pull me away from my evangelism, so I didn't choose that door. The second door was a denominational door that had all the preachers dressed in their suits, and everybody was saying, "Hello, Doc, how you doing, Doc? Good to see you, Doc." And it represented getting in the denominational system. And I rejected that door as well to become a system person in a denomination. I do not remember for the life of me the third door, but I chose the fourth door and it had the words persecution on top of it. And it was then that God showed me that my ministry would be filled with persecution if I chose that door. And that has happened for 41 years. A misunderstanding, abuse, lying about messages I've preached that I've never preached, lying about things I said that I never said. All that's happened during 40 years of ministry. It comes with the territory. But I didn't know it would be at the level at times that it would be in. But God showed me a sword, and there was a demonic spirit that was dressed, shrouded in a black robe that came toward me, and I was fighting it till I was weary, and the Lord said, "Cut off the arm." And I took that sword and cut the arm off, and that being's sword fell to the ground. Another one came, and another one came. And then I heard these words, "Blessed is he that is skilled with the sword." The sword is the word of God. And that's when I began to really study the Bible after that. So that dream, that was like a dream. And then suddenly I went in, it changed, bam, and the whole world opened up to me as though I was standing up on the edge of a mountain. And standing on that mountain, I saw the skyline of a city that could be any city in the United States or the world for that matter. Let's just take a city like Atlanta. And it's as though I'm standing way up the distance and I see all the outlines of these great buildings. There was darkness coming from the north, south, east, and west that was gathering over the city. When the darkness covered the entire city in this vision, I then saw a ball of light appear in the sky. It almost looked like the moon, but You know, when you see the moon, you can kind of see the surface of the moon. This was just a pure ball of energy and light. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ stepped out of that light and shot his left hand in this direction, his right hand in this direction. And I'm glad my hands are right here to show you this. Let's see if I can adjust this. And lightning came off of his fingertips. When the lightning came off of his fingertips from where he was, it literally went out to the left and right side of him, or we could say the east and the west. Remember, Jesus said, as lightning shines from the east and the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, in Matthew. The lightning went this way and went all the way around the globe. This one went all the way around the globe this way. And I believe the one side was to raise the dead, and the other side was to change the living from mortal to immortality. And that's why there's two. There's one doing one thing. There's one going around this way. But they all gathered back at him. And in that lightning were all of the saints of God from around the world. See, I always was puzzled. If Jesus is coming, does he go to over England? Then he jumps over to Canada. Then he comes to America. No, he goes to one location. And from that location, we are gathered together unto him. We go to where he is. He doesn't necessarily go to where all of us are. But he did it through the lightning. And everybody was then taken into that light, and the light disappeared. And then I realized really trouble, great trouble is getting ready to happen, which would have been in the context of Scripture, the Great Tribulation period. Now, the second one that I had, and I'm going down here to look at this because I want to be sure that I have this in detail, was a little bit different because I really believe I saw the Father God in this vision. And again, it could have been Christ because it was the coming of the Lord, but I never saw the face. But I'm going to give you the details of this. But my impression was, oh my, I've seen the Lord. In this particular vision, in the middle of the night, this was some time back, we were preparing a meeting at a conference center. I have no idea what town I was or city I was in. Because people have written me and said, where were you at? Where were you at? Have you had that meeting? Are you going to have that meeting? The Lord hid that from me. And in this particular vision, I remember that some partners of our ministry who have been partners for years were preparing to set up chairs and tables. And it's like we were going to meet with partners first, and then we're going to have this great meeting. In whatever room we were in, there was a massive glass window that oversaw mountains. In other words, if you looked out the window, you would see rolling hills, which are very similar, and I'm just using this for an example because so many people know where this is, very similar to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, just real beautiful rolling hills, and you could see the trees on the hills. And all of a sudden, I stood at the window, and I saw something very strange. I saw the Lord coming from my right side to my left side. And I'm going to tell you what he looked like. I couldn't see the face, but I saw the backside of the Lord. He had a garment in shimmering white, and there was a red, I don't want to call it a red thread, but sewn into that garment it looked to me, if this was my garment that I was wearing, it was on this side right here, and it looked very, very wide, it was on the right side. It looked very, very wide, and it was coming down the front, and I knew it was on the front, and the Spirit, I knew it, and all the way down the back side of the garment. That's all I saw about the garment was this beautiful red coming down there. And I'll explain that. Well, let me explain it now. And I told this to B. Ogle, and B. said, Perry, I had the Lord take me to heaven. I thought I died. And everybody from the nations of the world, I should have put this in a book I recently wrote. I forgot about this till just now. But B. said, I saw the different nations of the world, and the different nations were known by pomegranate that was sewn into their garment. Now, the pomegranate represents the law and the word of God in Judaism, by the way, in the Old Testament. And so some had it over their heart, some had it over the left shoulder, some the right shoulder, some had it sewn toward the front leg, left leg, right leg. And you knew the continent they were from automatically by where the pomegranate was. Then she said they had a red thread coming this way. Red material, that's the word I'm looking for, that was sewn into the garment all the way down. And that's exactly what I saw in the garment of the Lord. And she said that represented the covenant of the blood of Jesus. So when I heard that, she explained to me why I saw in this vision the Lord's garment, and it had that red coming all the way down the back because it represented the covenant of his blood. Now, the back part of the Lord also had a very unusual look in the hair. The way that the way that the Lord's back was made, the way the Lord's back was made, it looked like that he almost had wings. Now, he didn't have wings, but there was this appearance of something on his back that was connected to this garment. And I realized that if you were to see the front of him, it might look like that there were horns coming up from him, which, and I don't want to get in the Old Testament verse about that. But anyway, it was very unusual to see the back. But what he did once again is he put his hands out and I saw the lightning. This time I saw it in more detail. The lightning came from his fingertips and I knew it was going to go around the world to gather the people unto him that were his, that whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so as he did that, something happened in the building. Now, I never have forgot this. The lightning went into the building and every believer, every person in that room was a believer. There wasn't at that point a lot of people in the room because they hadn't arrived. We were preparing the room. And I remember being hit right in my stomach. Now, why would I be hit in my stomach by this lightning? Because the Bible said the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. John chapter 7, out of your belly, innermost being, out of, shall flow rivers of living water. And so your spirit is located in the heart of your spirit. Just like here's my brain, here's my heart. The heart of my physical body that keeps my body alive is the blood pumping organ called the heart. And it's in the center of my body. So the belly area is the center or the seat of the emotions for the soul and spirit. Anyway, it hit me in my spirit and I felt an electricity. It didn't hurt, electrifying my body. And I knew I was being changed from immortal to immortality, the way the Bible says. And I looked around the room and instantly that lightning was hitting my partners. It was hitting Pam and we were all. And then here's the cool part. It immediately pulled us toward God. The moment the change came, we were going through that glass window instantly, and then I completely woke up. Now, you talk about not being able to go back to sleep for a while. So when I share this with you, both examples, the Lord was in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 said, we'll meet him in the air. Both examples, he was taking lightning to somehow gather the people together. That's in Matthew 24, as lightning shines to the east and to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And I believe that's more than just the speed. I believe this is what it refers to. And then you're changed from mortal to immortality. The dead in Christ rise first. There's a resurrection that takes place. And then we go to meet him in the air. So let me go back to something I said earlier. He's not popping around the world all at one time gathering people. He will come to a specific place. And we don't know where that place is. It may be above Jerusalem. It may be above Israel. We're not sure. And he will gather the people from all over the world. And the key will be lightning. Now, someone says, what does that have to do? Isn't lightning a natural thing? Well, listen to this verse. This is Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. It'll come on the screen. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran or Mount Paran. And that is in the Old Testament. Selah. That means meditate on this. His glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. His brightness was as the light. Okay, that's his glory. The glory of God always appears as light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Now, let me just say to you that when I looked up the Hebrew word horns, I thought, well, this is strange, horns coming out of his hand. It's the same word used throughout the Bible talking about the horns of an animal or the horn of this or that, you know, a horn. However, in this verse, according to the Strong's Concordance, it also can allude to light of some kind. Beams of light or rays of light. It can be translated in the Bible that way. So in other words, using this Habakkuk verse, when God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, this was the time of the receiving of the law on Mount Sinai, the glory of God covered the area, the light of God covered the area, but there was rays of light coming out of God's hands. This is where I apply the idea of what I saw in both these visions, that lightning will be the key, and it'll be lightning from him, not lightning from the natural, but he's talking about as lightning flashes and goes east and west, so when he comes, he will have lightning in his hands that will gather the people from the east and the west. And that's what I got from both these visions that I had over the years. And I felt like that some of you would be extremely interested in hearing about this and having a little bit of maybe more knowledge about when Christ returns, what will it actually be like? And so I appreciate you joining me. Now, this is very important. When we do a Manifest telecast, the only way that I can keep Manifest aired, our airtime around the world is millions and millions of dollars every year, but the only way that I can keep it coming, if you want to continue to see Manifest on the stations around the world on satellite, is through the offering of resource material or donations. So we always offer a very special resource material on the Manifest telecast. And let me just say something about it. If you see a book I have written, this is not just a reprint of an old book and rehashing old things. All the things we put out on Manifest, when I say new offer, it is loaded with insight. Some of you have never heard what I just taught, for example. See, so it's new insight to you. But this book is loaded with insight. Anytime we offer an audio CD, it is not just something I got off the top of my head, stood in a church and preached. The Manifest offers are always the deeper yet very understandable teaching from the Bible. It is not a surface teaching. It's not a Sunday school teaching. It is something that you can put your heart into, mind into, and as the old expression, dig your teeth into and pull the meat of the Word of God out. So please help me keep Manifest on the air. I want you to go and look at this offer. Then when we come back, we always have updates of places that we're going to be preaching. Also, you can go to perrystone.org and get the itinerary as well. So let me just say this to you. The Lord is coming. He really is. And I know you've heard about it all your life, and you're going to keep hearing about it more and more as the day of the Lord approaches. So I want to encourage you to repent, make your heart right, and follow the Lord and follow the Word of God. And if you will do these things, your name will be in the book of life and you'll be ready when the Lord returns. I'll be right back in a moment.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right, you know, I'm so thrilled to know from our reports that this offer that we're offering right now, Manifest, is becoming one of the most requested offer in the history of the Manifest telecast. But I can see why, because these are subjects that seldom get taught on. And the one on the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony is one that I had never heard taught on in 47 years of ministry. So please go ahead and set aside the time to get that when you can. And I know you're going to just be marking your book up and just excited about some things. And there's a real interesting story that happened when I saw my grandmother who passed away. I want you to read about that. I'm not going to take time to talk about that. Now, I'm going to take some time to tell you a long list of where we're going to be coming to. On June the 11th, we are coming to the Maryville Advance area there in Tennessee and to a great church all day Sunday, June the 11th. Now, the information will be on the screen there. We're coming to the Crow Nation Annual Camp Meeting, the Crow Agency in Montana there. The information is on the screen. And I believe, from what I understand, we're going to be on the big tent Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. Had a great time at the Navajo Camp Meeting in New Mexico last year. Thank you for having me. Then we're going to be coming to June the 20th through the 23rd, Thursday through Sunday morning at Evangel World Prayer Center. That's our big conference they have. We have every year. Be sure and go to that. Trinity Christian Center. I made an announcement earlier, but this says July 30th through August the 3rd, and that's a Sunday through Thursday. Pastor Sherry Morris. Then we go to King's Chapel the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's in Wasilla, Alaska. We're looking forward to being with Pastor Daniel Bracken again. Family Faith Church, Willis Campus, August the 18th and the 19th. That's Friday and Saturday. And we're looking forward to that. Great place to preach. And then on Sunday morning, August the 20th, Family Faith Church in Huntsville, Texas. That'll be all day Sunday. And then back to that great church in West Virginia, Christ Temple in Huntington, West Virginia. Mark, save the date. Mark it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, August the 25th to the 27th. And for you folks in San Diego, California, yes, on September the 28th, I'll be preaching at the Morris Sorella Legacy Center Feast of Tabernacles Celebration. And that would be September the 28th. And we're looking forward to that in just a wonderful way. Never been to the Legacy Center. So all you San Diego folks, you can contact them for that information. And I'm coming on October 15th to Faith Landmark Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. Wow, we've got a busy schedule. And I cannot wait. After COVID, I'm chopping at the bit to preach. The anointing is flowing. The messages are flowing. I'm going to say to God be all the glory. Nobody else but God receives the glory for restoration and bringing health back to me and strength back to me and the joy of the Lord and all the wonderful things that come as part of the kingdom of God. To God be the glory. I'll see you next week.
Harry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.